Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Nine Circles Audio Thing. I'm your host Josh Stewart, and today I'm bringing you an interview I did with the Floridian death metal band Crypteria back in late October. On October 12th, the band released their self-titled debut full-length, and it took me maybe two listens, and it shot up into some of my favorite death metal of the year. So as one would do, reached out over Facebook, and Austin replied and said they'd be interested in talking with us. So Austin Burleigh, the guitarist, and bassist Kevin McCombs took time out of their day to discuss the new album, influences, and just so much more. It was a heck of a chat. So stay tuned, and we'll see you on the backside.
Excellent. How did you find out about us?
Well, actually, and I'm gonna go ahead. This is one of the things I had for you. Actually, a good friend of mine, Dan Crowley, got to give him a shout out. He sent me the link on Bandcamp, and all it said was the tagline was Florida death metal, which he knows is going to get my attention. So after he sent me the link, that was pretty much it. I was hooked. Almost immediately, and still, I mean, I've been listening to it nonstop pretty much all day today again.
So
obviously, since he sent me the link, I reached back out to him and said, okay, hey, man, I'm interviewing him. What, you got anything you want to ask him? And he said, well, just tell him thanks for putting out a better 2018 Morbid Angel album than 2018 Morbid Angel.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Hey, that's the ultimate compliment to us, man.
So, yeah, what do you have to say about something like that?
I'm just honored to hear that, man.
But we should also say that we really like that new Morbid Angel record.
Yeah, we love new Morbid Angel.
I get it. And he even came back and said, you know, and I like that album, too. But
yeah.
I can't help. That's what I want to say.
we got some catchy riffs on this one, and the song structure might be a little different, you know, which could give it sort of some newness, you know, compared to some of the older bands, maybe, you know. And
yep.
You know, when I was listening to the new album, you know, I was listening to Trey's solos. I thought they were kind of similar to some of his other guitar solos, and there's some great riffs on there, but you know, I guess some kind of similar patterns to albums they've done before, maybe.
Right. You know? Right.
So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't as new as, say, you know, Domination was when it came out, or any, I mean, you know, some of those early albums are just so badass. I still listen to Altars of Madness all the time. You know,
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
classic. Angel.
I'm a big more Angel fan.
Yeah.
Cannibal.
Yeah. Well, so, all right. So as far as I could find, and you correct me if I'm wrong, there's been no EPs, no singles, no nothing. It's just you just blasted out with this self-titled debut that I just don't know any way to say it other than it rules. So with that being said, what's the backstory of you guys? I mean, how did you get to where you are now and end up with this kind of an album starting out of the gate?
Well, I think I met Rex, the drummer, maybe 2005, 2006, when he was 19 years old. You know, I'm about 9 years older than he is. And his dad's a famous pro drummer, toured with Dizzy Gillespie, Ray Charles. He's a big band jazz guy. So when Rex was growing up, I mean, he's got his dad as a living drum teacher. That's where he got a lot of his advanced rhythmic concepts from. He's got great hands, as I'm sure you noticed, with cymbal work and all that.
Yep.
I didn't know about polyrhythms. I wasn't used to off-time patterns, any of that kind of stuff, like more like Meshuggah. And basically, I met him, jammed with him. We got the first iteration of the band together. We did a three-song demo with actually Sam Rivers from Limp Bizkit. And his guy, Stan Martell, was working for him at the time just as a guy in the studio. Now, Martell Studios is pretty big. They're in Kingsland, Georgia. And I think he did the last Saliva album. He's more of a rock guy, but he's a great dude. Really good bass player, too, by the way. So we did a bunch of shows. Things were going well. We had some personnel issues. That kind of screwed things up for a while. Took some time off, wrote some new music, got together a new vocalist, and that was going well. Then we had some screw-ups again, personnel issues, and we almost gave up, and we kept going. And basically, Kevin can kind of explain how he came into the situation, but our guy Kevin here has really got a lot to do with this album coming to fruition.
Yeah, so when Crypteria was first having its, debut on the Jacksonville scene with a couple demos and opening up for whatever the biggest metal shows in Jacksonville were, I was in middle school. And I was going to Crypteria shows. I was like, oh my God, this band's going to hit it big. These songs are absolutely killer. The demos at the time, in retrospect, sound like demos from 2006, but, but at the time, as a young kid, I had never heard anything like that come out of Jacksonville before. So I was on board. My brother was a student of Austin's at the high school where he teaches. And, he helped him found the guitar club. So they were kind of involved. I started going to the shows. But it wasn't until I got to college that I started doing pre-production work. Doing drum programming for Austin and Rex, because they had the old songs that had already been recorded, but needed to get updated and re-recorded because the tempos weren't quite right, and a lot of things, it just wasn't polished. So we sat down to do some drum programming to work out some ideas, and I got involved on the production side trying to record the band members at the time, and we were working with a bass player, and he, for whatever reason, stood me up for a couple sessions, and I ended up writing some parts for him. I was like, man, I can play bass on this stuff. I'm a guitar player by trade, but I love the music, and I think I can make this happen. So about 3 years ago, I sat down with Austin at his place. I said, look, man, I think I can do this, and that's how it happened. And we played some shows, getting the lineup back together, basically kind of starting from scratch. It was a new starting point, updating old songs and playing new ones, getting new ones into the repertoire. And then about a year ago, we plunged headfirst into, making this record what it should be. And over the course of those 3 years, my production skills have finally risen to the point where I thought I could do a good enough job, recording the band, and we wouldn't have to go to some other studio. And then from a lot of connections that I made being a producer, we reached out to one of the most prolific mix engineers on the planet. His name is, Jacob Hansen, and he lives in Denmark, and he did the last Black Dahlia Murder record. He does Aborted. He's famous for Volbeat. So he does death metal just kind of for fun.
His moneymaker is Volbeat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of the history of how this album came to fruition. And it's been a really long process. With a lot of lineup changes and moving parts and stuff like that, but coming out on the other side, we have a new vocalist who's got killer vocals.
Agreed.
We've got drums that sound killer, guitars that sound killer. Guitar and bass that's not edited. It's not.
Yeah, no editing.
Yeah, no, it's really played that way, and that's why it took us so long to make it. We track guitars for 3 months, working every single night in the studio.
Yeah, play it so you get it right. No editing allowed on the guitars and bass. So Kevin, we brought him in first. He was just helping out with pre-production for the new songs. And then he stepped in to bass player, and he does the background vocals. When you hear the highs, that's Kevin. And I do some lows with Bobby a little bit here and there, but Kevin's doing more background vocals than I am, and he's a solid guy, very disciplined. Rex and I, the drummer and I, are disciplined guys, and it's hard to find four dudes who are on the same page as far as goals and working hard and having jobs and being able to save money and all that kind of stuff. And we got our guy now, plus he's got his own studio now. He's kind of organized the Jacksonville metal scene, because a lot of these young bands appreciate us, and they're Crypteria fans and stuff, and they know Kevin's in the band, so they're going to him, and everything's kind of spreading and growing. Plus he's running sound at basically the two best clubs in town for metal, occasionally here and there. I mean, he's not doing this as a full-time job. He's a mix producer guy first and foremost, but everything's kind of working out for us, man. We're really excited about the summer.
That's good. That's great to hear.
try to get on, hit the road.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you need to bring it on up. You know, South Carolina, Georgia, get it on up here.
Hey, that's the next step, man. We want to start booking in Miami, Tampa, Orlando, and then Savannah, Valdosta, and then it's funny, man. I didn't know you're in South Carolina until today, but we're, you know, I'm telling the guys, hey, we got to figure out where we're gonna play South Carolina. You know.
Yeah. Well, we definitely have some venues. I'll shoot you over some information on it.
Awesome, man. Appreciate that.
Well, you know, we've mentioned, you know, a lot of the cornerstones of Floridian death metal. You know, Morbid Angel. I mean, Hate Eternal, the whole nine yards. So, and listening to this, I mean, yeah, that's some of the influences. But what are some maybe not so obvious that you guys love?
Great question, man. So I write all the riffs. I'm a big late 80s, early 90s rock guy. So I love Van Halen, Skid Row, Rat. I know it's kind of hard to believe. I like a lot of Delta blues, like Robert Johnson, classical, you know, and blues players in general, you know, Steve Ray Vaughan, all that kind of stuff. So as far as modern rock bands, I only listen to one, and that's Nonpoint. And I probably shouldn't be admitting this on a death metal podcast, but the fast, aggressive, rapid-paced vocal patterns are really appealing to me, man. So I listen to that. I go, let's do this over death metal and see how that goes. You know, so I'll admit the Nonpoint vocal patterns have been really influential. You know, maybe not the riffs and, you know, that kind of stuff, but I like the vocals. And Bobby, our new vocalist, is more of a deathcore guy. He listens to band. I don't even know what he's talking about. I guess slam bands or something. I don't even know what that is, but I guess I'm an old guy or something. But Kevin, can speak, or I guess Rex first. Rex is more into slamming grooves and Meshuggah. He likes Periphery. He's into more off-time polyrhythm, really kind of technical rhythmic work. And he likes a lot of rock also. And Kevin, speak for himself.
Well, I think another one that me and Austin share is classical music. And we're, you know, Austin claims that his secret weapon sometimes is, you know, Bach violin concertos.
Yeah, Vivaldi. We got a song we're doing pre-production now for this called Labyrinth of Error. That's going to be heavy as shit. And it's kind of based, it's got its whole section based on Chopin. Now, we're the only three people that are ever going to know that probably. But, you know, so, you know, I mean, most people go, wow, that's different. Like, where'd that come from? But they're not going to think, you know, oh, that reminds me of a Chopin, you know, prelude or something. Right. But that was inspiration. So, but keep going, Kevin. What else?
Yeah, well, for me, Cannibal Corpse is my number one. Alex Webster is my hero. I'm also a huge fan of Gorguts. Their current bass player is one of my idols, both from a composition and production standpoint, because he's also a producer up in New York. And, I mean, going to music school and learning counterpoint, you know, medieval counterpoint, writing the shit out and, you know, by candlelight and whatever. That's what I'm into. So whatever Austin comes up with, I try to complement wherever I can, and then lock into Rex's grooves a la Meshuggah or, you know, any of those rhythmic ideas.
Let's not forget Chuck Schuldiner, you know, speaking of Florida death metal. I mean, huge.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy, you know, and then his teammate for Spiritual Healing, James Murphy, you know, when it comes to leads and solos, those are big influences. But Alex Webster is my favorite riff writer for metal by far.
Yeah.
And then Luke LeMay, Gorguts would probably be number two. You know, then Trey's up there, man. I mean, Morbid Angel, I mean, he's got so many great riffs.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it, man. I don't really listen to many new bands or I don't really listen to much new music at all. I'm sure it's cool.
Hey, stick to what you love, man.
Just write, you know. Plus, we're busy guys. You know, we work a lot and stuff. And so I figure if I got some free time, I'm going to play guitar or I'm going to write music, you know, instead of listening to other guys play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, looking through the lyrics on Bandcamp to this thing, and, you know, it's not the what I would call the gory death metal. It's not blood and guts and Satan and all that stuff. It's more, I don't know. It seems like a very charged diatribe, I guess, against the way things are currently.
Good way to put it. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, is that kind of the headspace that y'all were in writing this?
Yes, sir, man. You're right on it. You know, the two about, you know, that seem to be about someone in the, you know, in particular, I'll admit, you know, like Indifferent and Immersed in Emptiness, I both wrote after I broke up with a girlfriend. Okay, so those would be the only really personal ones. And then the rest, you're right, Abstractions. Mechanized Insurgency was written by our original bass player, Dindy Morris, who's super talented. He's still a great friend of ours. He's a family guy now. He's married. He's got three kids, so he's being responsible. But he wrote the lyrics to that one, which is one of our best songs. He wrote the lyrics to Scorns and Vocal Patterns, which is another great one. So he's really talented. He did Dim the Sky, most of that. But yeah, man, State of Affairs. I think lyrically the new ones that are coming out are going to be about how superficial people are with their empty lives and just caring about stuff that's not important. Corrupted Text is, I guess, our most philosophical one. I was inspired by, you know, some kind of traditional philosophy like Hobbes and Hume and mistranslations. People believe in things they don't even understand. But were there any lyrics in particular that you liked or that kind of resonated with you? Were there any songs that you're thinking of in particular?
No, you know, for me, I just kind of liked the flow of the whole thing. It almost, even though I know tracks are different, but it almost, to me, the further I got into the album listening to it and then the further I got into the lyrics, it almost was kind of unfolding somewhat like a story is kind of the way I took it.
That's the idea, man. That's cool. We've been getting some really positive feedback on that, man. That's kind of what we're going for. That's great.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a jumbled up bunch of ideas. It all flows from start to finish, and I dug that a lot.
Great, man. Well, I appreciate your, you know, feedback on that. Inspiration.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. I write really slowly, but I think that's one reason why maybe we're getting a response from you, because I take my time and we don't just kind of throw something out there, you know. Like you said, I think everyone's already written enough about Satan or like a baby getting chopped up or, you know, how we're angry at somebody. You know, I think maybe let's kind of pave some new territory here. You know what I mean? Like try something a little different.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier, you know, working with Hanson Studios. You know, I got to say, listening to this, particularly my first few times, because it was new, and it was almost like going back to, you know, when Moral Sound started putting out stuff, and that just that sound that you could pick out over anything. So how did you get hooked up with Hanson, and how did that whole process go?
We reached out to a number of top shelf mix engineers because we reached a part in the production where I said, look, guys, you know, I'm an engineer. I'm doing this record. I could do the mix and do a good job, but we want something that's really going to stand out from a production standpoint as it kicks you immediately, you know, from the first song. And that's what we're looking for. Is something that sounds unique, but is also distinctly modern.
Clear.
Yeah, clear. You know, you want to be able to hear every element because we're all contributing interesting parts to the mix. And Jacob Hanson, you know, we got responses to just about each one of our emails to these top level engineers, and we got quotes, and we went back and forth with a couple guys. But Jacob Hanson was just a friendly guy in Denmark that he really liked some demos that we sent him. And
he seemed excited.
Yeah, he was.
Right.
And, as he started mixing it, he kept sending us messages. Man, I love mixing this. You know, this is really cool. He really believes in the music. He's, you know, we consider him a friend of ours now.
He's a really solid guy.
In the metal music community. And he just puts out spectacular work. And so we got hooked up with him. We found his website, and then shot him an email. And then I want to say maybe a month and a half after the initial email, he responded. and going into it, he was my number one And I'm just kind of over the moon that he responded and wanted to work with us. And I think it's going to start a long relationship of working with him as our mix engineer, because he just knocked it out.
Yeah, he's our guy. We're going to go back to him. And he admired Kevin's production work so much, you know, doing the track end. You know, they've even talked about maybe Kevin could help him out with some editing work and that sort of stuff. So,
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, it was a real boon for us.
Yeah.
But smart guy. Plus, we'd love to get over there and play some festivals. You know, it's kind of one of our big kind of goals as a band is to get on some European festivals. Even if it was opening acts, you know, small festival, low tier, we'd be really excited about that. So we're hoping that if we can kind of develop our Nordic fan base a little bit, maybe we can get over there, you know, next summer, man.
Well, and that, you know, that's one of the good things about Bandcamp, man. It's everywhere.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Yeah.
You took the word.
Yeah, we just shipped out, you know, 6 records to Portugal, the Netherlands,
Brazil,
Ireland. We had yesterday. You know, it's going all over the world, and it's super cool to hear that the fans all over the world are stoked on this record, and it's very validating of, you know, our brutal efforts
Get out in Poland too, man. They love metal, you know, a lot of those Eastern European countries and stuff. And man, I speak pretty good Spanish. There's a lot of metal guys down south, you know, South America. There's some big ass metal shows down there. We like to go play Colombia, maybe Costa Rica, get some shows. We've got our friends in No Raza, Colombian band that, you know, tours the States and stuff. We're hoping to get some gigs with them down there. But touring, man. The summer coming up.
Well, you know, talking about getting the album out all over the place, and I don't know, maybe you might have done this, but if so, it kind of didn't come through our circles, but, you know, no PR folks involved to kind of get that word out, and, you know, label as far as that goes. So did you just want to just throw the album out there once you got it done and see what happened from there?
Yeah, our ultimate goal, we want to get signed to Metal Blade. But we knew that to get to that level, we're going to have to put in the work ourselves, you know, show that we're willing to work our ass off and show kind of what we can do. So basically we want to try to promote it ourselves as well we can. We believed in the music, so we thought we'd get word of mouth from true metal fans, and that's what's been happening.
Yeah. Basically we do have a strategy. I mean, we're coming at this from the perspective that if we're going to be our own label, we actually have to do all of the things that labels would do for us. So, you know, we're hitting the, you know, Facebook ad campaign, you know, putting together sort of regional presence, that way. And we're getting responses and stuff like that. I have sent the record out to no fewer than 26, metal blogs and review sites. We haven't heard anything back from those yet, but I suspect that after one picks it up, it might start catching fire a little bit. So, you know, it's a slow roll. It takes work every single day. To get the word out there, because, you know, if we just put it out there and see what happens, nothing's going to happen. You know, even if the music is prolific, it's just not how it works these days. You got to constantly be putting out content, staying top of mind for people that, you know, really like this kind of music. And so we're just going to keep at it. Hopefully, you know, regional touring, we'll be able to get some high quality footage of us, you know, playing live to prove to people that what it sounds on the record is actually just what we sound like.
Yeah, that's one of our big goals as a band, is to sound on stage just like the record.
Yeah.
I'm always blown away when a band can really do that. You know, either sound just like you're listening to the album or better live.
That's it, or better. I see. There you go, man. Yeah, you want to blow them away.
What we shoot for. We drill to the metronome every single day, and that's what we hope to provide.
Well, I know we've got digital and we've got CD, and obviously I know, you know, money's a huge thing when you start getting into vinyl and crap, even cassettes. Any plans to do some alternate
vinyls on the horizon? We're not sure when. But what do you think about that? Are metal guys wanting to buy the vinyl, you think?
Man, yeah.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Listen, I'm telling you, I was out of the vinyl thing. I had the Tower kind of stereo system when I was a kid. And my dad was big into vinyl back in those days. And then, you know, just over the years, stereo broke, speaker broke, got out of it. And then not recently now, I'm going to say probably 4 or 5 years ago, I finally got a turntable again. And I've got more albums now than I know what to do with them.
Oh, okay.
And I got to say probably at least 80% of my circle that's heavy into metal buys vinyl, cassette. I mean, a CD, digital, you know, the whole nine yards. But yeah.
Okay.
I love the vinyl.
The answer is that we're looking towards vinyl. We have to have enough of a fan base to where if we decided to crowdfund the upstart cost, or if enough people give us pre-orders, then we could just go ahead and print them outright. It's just, you know, it's easier to be stretched thin as an independent artist because, you know, we just got the CDs printed. We got to recoup some of that cost, you know, t-shirts, mm-hmm. All of this stuff. It's just, we're moving at the speed of four guys who have jobs. And
it's coming, though. Sure. The vinyl's definitely coming. I don't think the startup cost for me that bad, man, looking into it. I mean.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, really?
Oh, it's prohibitively expensive. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
If these other guys are doing it, I'll see what we can.
Because they're on labels. Yeah.
Well, Josh, looks like we have an internal disagreement about this. I'm going to tell you that my vote's going to be to get the vinyl out as soon as possible, you know, yeah. But, you know, who knows? You know, Kevin's got a good perspective, too, you know.
Sure.
But the hope is to get it out relatively. I tell you, I'd be surprised we didn't have it by the summer.
Oh, we're definitely going to have it by the summer. It's it's going to take some time.
Yeah. I hear what Kevin's saying. We're not going to have it out in a month or something. You know,
right. No, Lord, no.
We buy heaps of these CDs, you know, so try to sell them first. But we got a show coming up, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, Friday, that's going to be packed. And we're going to have a, you know, camera crew and all that stuff there trying to get some footage. And I'm sure we're going to move quite a bit of merch.
All that helps.
Yeah, that's that'll help, you know, saving up for the next batch, which I hope are our vinyls. But
So I think this is based on what we've talked about already. I know this is going to be a rhetorical question, but it's one that I always try to put into when I talk to artists, because, you know, you always get a different take. Is, you know, now that it's done, it's out, and, you know, you're not separated from it, but you're not in it like you were when you were making it. Are you absolutely pleased with it? And is there anything that you do differently, or did it wrap up just how you envisioned it?
I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I'm absolutely pleased, man. I don't think I would have done anything differently.
Yeah, we took so much time on it, and we were so deliberate about it that, like, I think it's really easy to hear a single note and be like, ah, man, I can track that differently. But when I sit down and listen to it, it's just heavy. There, you know, I can listen to it and just be taken by the music, and that's when I know that, like, you know, we did a good job, and we're just stoked to work on the next release and put that same amount of effort into it.
Yeah, we wanted it to be really clear, you know, the listeners to be able to hear every note and have some separation between the drums and the bass and the guitars and the vocals. And I think we had a good foundation. The unmixed raw tracks that Kevin did just from, you know, the tracking sessions were good. And then we sent them to Jacob, and then, in my opinion, I mean, he made them great. I mean, we're just so happy with what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're pleased, man. Very pleased.
Yeah. The first time I listened to it was just taking in the music. And then the second time I listened to it was taking in the sound,
right,
just how everything sounded, how clear everything was. You could hear everything. And that's, you know, I got to be honest. I mean, that's not the case with every album you come across. It's a rare thing to do that. One listen for just the music, one listen for the sound, and then, you know. So yeah, y'all did a great job on it.
Thanks,
all,
man.
All together.
I think growing up listening to Pantera, you know, I think like say Volver Display of Power, you know, listening to that album, there's always so much clarity and separation between the instruments. You know, I always kind of wanted something like that, but we're really excited about this next one. So we got the music done for about at least 5-6 songs. Got a lot of lyrics to write. So we're about halfway there, I guess. You know, we want another, you know, 10 to 12 songs on the album. But I think this next one is going to be really punishing for stepping up the technicality. I mean, there's the songs we got now already super heavy. I mean, there's some ultra catchy riffs on there that, like, you kind of really haven't. I've never really heard something like that before, kind of thing. So we're real excited about the future too. You know, this, we laid the foundation, got our groundwork, and we see see some heavy songs on the horizon here.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah. So I was gonna ask about that specifically, if you'd already been looking forward to the next one, which you have. So you know, are you thinking sometime in the next year, you'll have the next one out, year and a half. I mean, because I know you got touring for this one, and then the summer, obviously, when you're going to be doing some heavy touring.
Yep. We're kind of having another internal debate about releasing a single relatively soon here. So the song that we got now, we might ship it off to Jacob just to give him something to work on to tide us over, you know, in the meantime, just like you said, to get us through the summer tour cycle and all that. But yeah, I bet you're right. Probably at least a year from now, I'd say. Yeah. Maybe a year and a half.
Year and a half sounds right, just based on the pace that we work.
And given, you know, time to get in Jacob's mix calendar, you know, because he's so booked, you know, I mean, for good reason that, you know, you got to wait in line, you know, once he gets time to mix you, then he mixes you. So yeah. I think adding the 6 months there makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and especially just no matter what deadlines you try to set as an independent artist doing a release, it'll always take longer. You know, best laid plans, we can get our tracks to certain stages by certain times, but it just, you know, from the time that we started to the time that we have physical CDs in hand is, you know, wildly different than we thought it would be. And we just have to anticipate that in the future as well.
So you know how it is, man. It's always something. You know, you always got something you got to deal with. You know, you got the best laid plans and all that, but then something pops up and you got to deal with it. But that's life. That's okay, man. You know, we can roll with that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, just more general. And I know that, you know, you guys may not listen to a whole lot of current stuff.
Kevin does, and I'm okay. Not out of loop.
Yeah. Okay, well, so what's your general feeling on the state of death metal right now? And I ask that because when somebody asked me, my canned answer is, well, I think it needs more Florida.
Yeah.
Well, I can't disagree there. You know, we have a personal self-interest in Florida, but I think the state of death metal is really interesting now because I see it kind of branching off into two equal and opposite directions. You know, you have the sort of California or Montreal side of death metal, which is getting more technical, it's getting more processed, you know, more acrobatic in the playing. And then you have the sort of dirtier, sludgier side of stuff. You know, even the most recent Gorguts release has an incredibly heavy but dirty mix. And there's a lot of bands that have sort of followed suit in that respect. And then, of course, you've always got your, you know, hardcore, deathcore, that stuff, that, you know, kind of changes with the wind. But the state of death metal, in my opinion, I feel like it looks good these days. There, especially 2018, there have been a lot of records that have come out that I've been very pleased with. The new Revocation is awesome. I haven't had a chance to listen to New Hand Eternal that dropped today, but I've seen reviews that, you know, people think it's a punishing album of the year contender. So,
hard agree on that one.
Yeah, lots of good stuff is happening. You know, and it's not really the case that your top you know, level Obituary Cannibal are coming out with new music all the time. But there's some up and coming bands that I think are really kind of holding it down. Decapitated, their most recent releases have been great. There's tons of good work being done, even if the sort of overall state of metal doesn't have the same fervor that it had in the 90s. So I think there's good shows to be had.
I can't wait to Hate Eternal, man. Yeah, I'm excited for that too. I forgot it dropped today, but I need to go ahead and order it. I remember when they came through town for the King of All Kings tour, we had a rehearsal space at the venue where they were playing. And I saw Derek Roddy, you know, the drummer at the time, hanging out. So I went up and talked to him a little bit. And we ended up bringing him up to the band room, hanging out with him. And he just rocked out on my Turner set. He actually gave our drummer a lesson.
But,
Yeah, but and then, you know, I met Eric Rutan after that. And I had the opportunity to buy his Marshall JCM 900 head. And stupidly, I didn't buy it. I don't know what I was thinking. It was the one he was touring on with Morbid Angel. But, you know, I guess we all make mistakes, but I hope to run into him again, you know, relatively soon here and make some jokes about myself for being a dumbass. But, I'm excited to see him touring with Cannibal. You know, I think the closest they're getting to us is
The Abbey in Orlando.
Yeah, Orlando.
We're going to caravan down to that.
I think December 5th or something, but.
Yeah. Yeah, they're coming, I think, hour away from me, maybe. So I'm going to have to hit that for sure. Yeah.
We played with Cannibal, like a sold-out show. We opened up for them. Evisceration Plague Tour. And that's probably one of the best nights of my life, man. I mean, that was a lot of fun. I was a little starstruck backstage talking to Alex. He was like my hero, you know. But super nice guys. End up catching some beers with Pat O'Brien after the show. He'd tell me some funny stories, man. But, we're excited for the new Hate Eternal 2, man, you know.
Well, if you, and another just general question, if you had the opportunity to tour with any band or, you know, two, three bands now, back, anytime in the past, who would it be and why?
Cannibal.
It'd be Cannibal for me too, man. Yeah. Just they're the kings of death metal, in my opinion. I mean, as far as consistency and, I mean, look how many amazing songs Alex written. I mean, I know the other guys are holding down the fort too, you know, Past Cut Great Riffs, but, you know, I think there's something special about Alex Webster's songwriting. And I admire the relentless consistency from album to album. You know, the production changed a little bit, you know, this and that, but it's always Cannibal. And, you know, they've never really radically deviated from their sounds. They're just consistent, plus they're badass live, you know. I guess I admire their consistency. And there's something special about the riffs, in my opinion. But
yeah, Gorguts would be sick too, though.
Yeah, Gorguts. I mean, obviously they haven't been as prolific, you know, as far as number of albums, relentless touring. Morbid Angel. You know, back in the day, man, it would have been fun, you know, playing with Chuck, you know, opening up for Death would have been cool, you know. like on a human tour or something. I mean, when I was a kid, man, I just thought that was just the most amazing record there was. You know, I bought a Spiritual Healing when it came out, like on a cassette. And then I remember when Death Human came out, I bought that on CD. I remember putting it in the CD player, and when that first song came on, Platinum Emotions, you know, with a double bass coming in, I thought it was like the Hot for Teacher, you know, the drum group from Hot for Teacher, but in death metal, I'm thinking, what is this? And I just got blown away, man. So that's like one of my favorite albums of all time is Death Human.
Cool. That's a great album.
So it'd be Gorguts or, you know, Cannibal number one, Gorguts two, then Morbid Angel and Death probably.
Yeah. that's a good Mount Rushmore death metal.
good one, man. Good one, dude.
All right, well, listen, guys, man, this was great. I appreciate you guys taking the time to do this.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
Is it anything else y'all want to add we didn't cover that you want to throw in there? Plug anything or
man, what's your favorite song on the album?
That's like picking a favorite kid, man.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
well, I thought about that. I probably thought about that a handful of times, and tried to pick a favorite, and so far I can't. I mean, literally, I love the whole album.
That's great, dude. We really appreciate that, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's so much of, I kind of came into really the heavy, heavy side of death metal with Deicide.
Sure. Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then, you know, then it was Morbid Angel, and then it just steamrolled from there, but it was a lot of the Florida kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And this thing, like I say, it hit that same feeling I got when I was getting into it many, many, many years ago. So it's, yeah, awesome. I can't pick a favorite.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess I'd just say we want to come your way. And if there's any, you know, bands you recommend we try to set up shows with in South Carolina, or, you know, any venues, you know, have your guys, you know, shoot us a message. You know, we're pretty active on our Facebook page, and, you know, we got our website and stuff, and we'd love to meet those dudes and get up there, you know. And I guess, okay. You know, I don't know if you're a football fan, but, you know, go Cox, man.
Yeah, there you go. Very cool. Very cool. Well, guys, like I say, great album. Y'all did a hell of a job with it. And I appreciate y'all taking the time.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We'll see you around, Josh. We appreciate you, buddy.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
All right. Cheers. Take care, man. Cheers.
All right.
Like I said in the beginning, it was a heck of a chat. We covered a ton of ground, which is exactly what I was setting out to do. I wanted to know more about the band, know their backstory, their influences, and how they got to where they are today. So I hope you enjoyed it. And if you haven't yet, you need to check out the band on crypteria.bandcamp.com and on Facebook at Crypteria. And you can catch us on the web at 9circles.co, Twitter and Instagram at _9circles, Facebook at 9circlesblog, and email at 9circlesblog@gmail.com. Thanks again for taking a listen and taking the time out of your day. Hope you enjoyed it. And definitely you need to check out Crypteria. It's some amazing Floridian death metal in the classic, most classic ascent. So again, thanks. And thanks to Austin and Kevin for taking the time to do this. So until next time, cheers. See you soon.